Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. Politically Enraged is a podcast purpose-built to discuss British and international disunity in political spaces, talk through ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and fight back against authoritarianism. My name is David Moo, I'm your host, and I hope you'll stick with us. Follow our Twitter at Political Rages, find us on Instagram and Ko-fi at Politically Enraged, and let's speak truth to power. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, a podcast that is designed to give you a nice, gooey, warm feeling if you're a left-winger and make you wonder if you've shit your pants if you're a right-winger. This week is very specifically about a blog post that I wrote, which took me a really long time to research and I worked really hard on because I wanted to understand about a lot of things that happened when I was very young. Most of this stuff took place in the 80s and 90s, so I either wasn't born, I was a naughty twinkle in my dad's eye, or I was too busy trying not to fall off of walls to really understand what the hell was going on. And I think that that level of privilege to ignore these things or not understand them has been extended to a lot of people. So as I always do, I'm going to try and kind of, I don't want to say dumb it down because it's not dumbing it down, but make it more straightforward for people because, you know, I was awake from like 6:30 on the day I wrote this blog post, just researching solidly to try and understand exactly what's happened in the past. And I'm lucky that I had the time to do that. I know that other people don't. So when the Soviet Union collapsed, the world found itself in somewhat of a predicament because Ukraine was the third largest holder in the whole world of a nuclear weapons stockpile. And there were fears that a newly created country would be run by despots and there would be nuclear warfare. Or at least that they would hold the threat of nuclear warfare over the rest of the world to try and get, well, whatever they'd want, riches, whatever, you name it. The world had already been working on the START Accords, which is something you really don't need to read into too much. Safe to say that it's basically just about kind of mass nuclear disarmament and making sure that countries were safer when it came to what kind of weapons they were holding. So when a country like Ukraine was holding onto a huge stockpile of weapons, obviously some of the superpowers looked at each other and went, yeah, this isn't good. Russia, the USA, and the UK all came together and said, if you go through with nuclear disarmament, and if you let the US send a team in that will help you completely disarm your nukes, and we'll send the raw nuclear material to Russia to be absorbed and recycled or dealt with, there's no such thing as recycling, then we'll give you money. Ukraine was a new country, it needed money, so they did it. In return for that, this wasn't just a promise as in, yeah, we'll do that. This was a written promise. The Budapest Memorandum was basically a piece of literature that said that if several countries went through nuclear disarmament and signed nuclear non-proliferation treaties, man, that was hard to say, then those countries would be afforded protection by the US, the UK, and Russia. And I think we can safely say that Russia's kind of reneged on that. But I mean, to an extent, so have the US and the UK, because they promised that they would be part of protection for countries like Ukraine if they went through nuclear disarmament. Now, it's idealist to say, well, they should stick to what they said and they should be helping right now on the ground. First of all, Ukraine has said directly that they don't want boots on the ground because they realise that that would escalate this into a literal world war, whereas at the moment it's just a figurative one. The other sticky problem is that the US and the UK are NATO countries, and if they get themselves involved in a conflict, then they drag every other NATO country into it. It's been kind of clear for a while that part of Putin's idea when he's doing all of this stuff is to put paid to NATO and say that he doesn't want the expansion anymore. But the irony is that one of the reasons that something like NATO was even created is because of despicable cretins like Vladimir Putin. Putin's regime is one of fear and anger and maintaining what I could politely call a kleptocracy, which basically means stolen power. There's even theories I've been reading about online that say that Putin's original election was stolen because a lot of the things that happened to frighten Russians into voting for a big strongman were staged. I don't know if that's true. I would have to do way more research, and if the world's most prominent journalist can't figure it out, what chance does a 34-year-old homo podcaster working from home? But what I do know is that Vladimir Putin is a bad man that has done some terrible things in the name of what he calls the sovereignty of his country. But I think this is probably going to go down as the most egregious thing, because he's invalidating the sovereignty of another country, and he sent in troops to basically massacre everyone. All under this weird idea that he can, like, get the boys back together. No one in Ukraine, apart from a couple of separatists, actually wants to be part of Russia again. The easiest solution originally would have been to allow the places that didn't want to be part of Ukraine to accede and let them go and be part of Russia. But it's gone beyond that. And now we're into literal terrorism, war crimes, war, potentially world war territory, which is terrifying. It is at this point that I just want to draw everything to the side and point out that people around my age have got the worst fucking deal in the entire world. Our parents managed to hit this sweet spot where there were no world wars and pandemics and big fights with things like Brexit. Yeah, they had to sit through the recessions that we did too. But it seems to me like our lives are just ridiculous, and we never actually get any time to just go for it and do what we need to do. But anyway, the point is that everything just seems to be really fucked up. And obviously it's very easy as a white Western guy to sit in my little flat on the outskirts of a city and talk about how horrible this is, with no real grasp on how horrific it must actually be to be in the middle of a fucking war zone right now, run by a man who has absolutely no morals whatsoever. But the thing that annoys me the most is that there's so little focus on the fact that we made real assurances, only in the 90s, which is not long ago, that we would protect Ukraine from these exact situations that are going on right now. And again, you know, to the idealists out there who think that we should just rush out there and stick troops on the ground or make a no-fly zone or whatever, it just doesn't work that way. But all we're doing is crappy sanctions that won't come in for at least a couple of months to never. I don't understand how our government can be so weak. And my favourite thing is the revisionism of Brexiteers and all of these weirdos who support the Conservative Party in the face of all of the crap that they do, saying that they're doing their best. Because if this is their best, this is exactly what I've been saying throughout the pandemic about Boris Johnson, if this is their best, then we really are deserving of a much better government than we have. Because their best is, to coin a common phrase that I like to use for everything, crap. Boris Johnson is a terrible prime minister that's using this as a PR opportunity to rehabilitate himself after breaking the literal law and sneering at all of us who made horrific sacrifices throughout the coronavirus pandemic to make sure that everybody else stayed safe. Nadine Dorries is stood in the middle of Parliament wailing about the bravery of the BBC that she was desperately trying to get cancelled recently. And for the sake of clarity, that's cancelled as in actually cancelled, not cancelled as in I'm a racist old man who wrote an article about how good it is to be blood pure. Gavin Williamson got announced as having a knighthood today. For what? Services to fucking up the youth? Not to mention we've got James Cleverly all over the news, making a mockery of his surname. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's a literal war going on in Europe, and we've got the Conservatives using it as some kind of talking piece. The most egregious sycophant of them all is Liz Truss, sticking herself in every single country going, dressing up in the native wear, and talking as if she's any kind of authority on anything other than whether you should dip a biscuit into a hot cup of tea. If by any chance you do ever hear this, Miss Truss, can I just tell you that sticking a hat on and walking around looking concerned is not actually the job of the Foreign Secretary. The job of the Foreign Secretary is diplomacy, something that you have failed markedly at. So might I suggest that you recede back into the shadows from which you came and give someone capable the job? Or do it. And I know that this podcast was originally created to rail against Boris Johnson and the Conservatives, but there's a bigger overarching issue here, which is not just that the government's failing us anymore, which they are, and as I've said before, we deserve better. But they're now failing at international diplomacy as a precursor to world war. These are the people that we have elected. They're failing on every single front. Everything's more expensive, life is harder to live. And they were letting us die by droves in coronavirus. They literally murdered us through the pandemic. They did nothing to help except tell us to carry on and get boosted. I dread to think how many people we've lost that we didn't have to lose because of their ineptitude. But now, this is even worse. There's the potential of a world war, and literally because of something that Liz Truss said, the Russians increased their readiness to use nuclear warheads. If that doesn't tell you everything that you need to know about this government, I don't know what does. Even that does not frustrate me as much as the fact that the Conservatives are part of this government. They were in power when this agreement was made. They said, their old government said, that if Ukraine went through with nuclear disarmament and they signed the accords they needed to sign, then when this kind of thing happened, we would stand up and defend them. And that doesn't necessarily mean sending in troops with guns. It doesn't necessarily mean shooting down helicopters like in some shitty war movie. It means doing things to help. Sanctioning a few rich people, I don't really see that as helping. And the most depressing part of this is that the EU has acted in perfect concert. It sanctioned Russia really quickly. They're doing a lot of good things that are going to help in the grand scheme. A lot of people have said that the EU might have actually been able to move faster because they didn't have people from the UK in it vetoing everything. And that is an absolute indictment on this nation. You've got to bear in mind that when I talk, I'm just a person that lives in this group of countries that looks at how we do things and critiques it. And it's easier to do than actually move into action. That's something that I really want to do. I'm really new to this and I don't know how to do that effectively yet, but I'm working on it. But even I, as a neophyte, can see that we're not doing what we should be doing. There's practicable ways and means that we could be helping, organising aid and relief. And instead, we've got people like Priti Patel tweeting about regional visas for fruit picking that the Ukrainians can apply to instead of just allowing them to come here in droves because they're literally at war. I don't understand how we became a nation of such selfish people. And there's so many people that applaud it. There was an MP, Tory of course, who stood up in Parliament the other day and said that Lincolnshire has done its part and they feel full. Lincolnshire, by the way, is one of the least populated counties in the entirety of the UK. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that it feels like I've always railed against populism in politics, but there's other more seedy elements that I've never really addressed before. And I guess the biggest one right now is that people just keep letting politicians get away with shit that they shouldn't be allowed to get away with. The way that people get screwed over so heartily by politicians in the way that they do is absolutely appalling. And this isn't people as in the individual anymore. This is people as in whole countries, continents. They screwed over our country by allowing Russia to meddle in the Brexit referendum. And we ended up with the result that we did. Even with their meddling, it was closer than a gnat's asshole. That was a really weird phrase, David. I don't know why you said that, but enjoy. We've had nothing but bitter fighting since 2016 over this. We had Donald Trump installed. Can you imagine how bad this situation would have been if coronavirus hadn't happened and Donald Trump had been elected again? Because if Trump was in charge right now, I dread to think what would be happening. And one thinks that was probably part of Putin's plan. He just didn't foresee coronavirus. Now you have this whole mess going on where the EU's doing exactly what it always should have done, which is standing with people who are in turmoil. Ukraine is being screwed over left, right and centre. Being bombed, attacked, people are being killed. Innocent Russian people have been brought into a war that they don't even understand. And they're being arrested in their homelands because they're protesting against it. Anti-Russian sentiment is climbing all over the globe when so many of them don't stand for this and don't want this. They just can't say it because if they do, they'll be arrested by the absolute despot of a leader. Putin came to power because of fear of terrorism and a lot of xenophobia brought on by things that ostensibly he might have organised. And since then, he's done absolutely everything that he can to remain in power. The guy's going to be 70 in September. Seems like this is just his fucking Weekend at Bernie's attempt. But instead of stupidity with alcohol, he's bringing down an entire fucking continent. Because just in case you didn't hear, Russia showed some maps today that show that they're planning further invasions in other countries. All that's going to happen if we sit this out is that a huge crisis is going to unveil itself in front of our eyes. And we're going to be being led by a man that couldn't even stay away from the Chardonnay while people were choking to death in hospitals. So, not really a lot of hope going on there. The frightening thing is that it seems to be too much to ask for a government to hold itself to the promises of the past. This isn't, as I said, this wasn't just a like gentlemanly handshake gesture thing that you can just forget about. This is down in statute that we would defend people in Ukraine and the other countries that did the same thing if they towed the line. And they towed the line. And my favourite thing that's happened so far this week is that I got hauled over the coals by someone on the internet because I expect the government to hold themselves to the standards that they should hold themselves to. It's honestly, sometimes I just feel like I'm living in bizarro world. Apologies for expecting a government to do the decent thing and do more than just implement some lazy ass sanctions against people that have loose ties to Vladimir Putin. It's really funny because there's these people out there, this weird large cross-section of people who think that COVID wasn't that serious. I can assure you, as someone that had it was fucking serious. Who think that Russia is the wronged party here. Who think that Brexit's the best thing that ever happened. It's all a wide circle. And if you, that isn't the perfect example of people that fall for disinformation, I don't know what is. These people are always on the wrong side of things. Some of them are the so-called alpha males who like to pretend that they're engaging in devil's advocate. But my least favourite thing in the entire world is people playing devil's advocate. Because if you have the ability to play devil's advocate, it's because you're not going to lose no matter who wins. Who's going to struggle if Vladimir Putin flattens all of Europe and takes over? It's not going to be the white straight men. Sure, might have to get lumped into doing some hard labour. Vladimir Putin wants to kill LGBTQIA people. So I'm pretty sure that the people that are talking about devil's advocate have no fucking idea how scared some of us are right now. You've got gender critical people writing articles about how can we ever see men that dress as women as brave ever again. It's pretty fucking brave to do that in a country that hates you, never mind in the face of a guy who wants to come over here and kill you. And of course you've got people talking about how it's the woke that have weakened us enough that Vladimir Putin is attacking. Is he attacking woke countries or is he attacking Ukraine? Well, sure, there'll be some left-wing people there that care about gender ideology, but as far as I know, they aren't that great on their record of LGBTQIA people. And people always forget that the biggest sufferers in these places are LGBTQIA people, or people of colour, or just women. Women get mistreated everywhere. I have read accounts of some women in Russia who talk about some of the things that they go through and the sexism that they experience, and it's ridiculous. And if you want to see how Vladimir Putin treats women that stand up against the establishment, Google Pussy Riot and see whatever happened to them. This is a dangerous and precarious moment, and this isn't just about our government standing up for us over here, currently insulated against all of this. This is about the idea of a government that cannot back up its own promises. And we already knew that because they can't even follow the fucking laws that they implement. But this is the point. We have a prime minister in at the moment who can't follow laws that he implements, who can't follow agreements that he makes with all of Europe. And we supposedly want the guy to be in charge during a war. We made literature solid promises that we would intervene in these exact circumstances. And so we sit on our laurels. And so I look at the morals of the West and go, huh, we really ain't that great, are we? And outside of all of this, when you look at some of the atrocities that the US and the UK and other Western countries have committed when we've gone to war in places for things like oil, you suddenly realise why we tend to leave a massive swathe of destruction in our path. So is it too much to expect that we might actually stand up for the people that we said that we would protect? Can we not even do that? Are we really the monsters that people paint us as? Because the way I see it, the evidence is mounting. Vladimir Putin is a disgusting and disgraceful man. Hopefully he doesn't have much longer to go. I don't know what end he's going to meet, but I sure hope it's fitting of a guy that's done all of this. But what I do know is when all of this is over, whenever it's over, there's no way I'm going to look with pride on a government that can't follow up on the promises of the past and just comes up with empty bullshit for the present. Not to mention, makes me feel like I've swallowed a stone from the garden whenever I think about the future. This is obviously not going to get heard by anybody in Ukraine, but I really hope that anyone that does hear this knows that there's people out there that do give a shit, and that we're trying to make sure that our politicians are held to account and do the right thing. I don't know exactly how to go about that yet, but I'm trying my best, and I know a lot of other people are. This is about honesty and decency, and that's something that our government just doesn't seem to understand, but it's something that people like me try really hard to impress on them every single day, every single time we write to them, every single time we protest. And I'm not going to lose faith that that makes a difference, because it's about the only thing I can do. Thanks for listening to Politically Enraged, a podcast designed to discuss politics palatably. If you're interested in following us on social media, you can find me at Davy Moo pretty much everywhere. And you can also find us on Instagram at Politically Enraged, where you can see the blog. You can find us on Ko-fi in case you'd like to caffeinate me. And you can find us on Twitter at Political Rages. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, stay politically engaged and get politically enraged. Because remember, we deserve better.